fighting for America.
As long as they kill us and go to Wendy's and have a burger and go to sleep, they're going to keep killing us. But when we die and they die, we'll tear this goddamn country up.
Fighting for Idaho.
The lessons are really basic. Don't rob a convenience store. Don't fight a policeman when he stops you and try to take his gun. And when he yells at you to stop with his gun drawn, just stop.
Fighting for you.
Don't close your eyes. Focus, focus, focus.
Boise's Mr. Right.
You're the best, man.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, winner of the 2014 Marconi Radio Award on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the Morning, 580 KIDO. Joining us now from offgridmontana.com is Rich Sheeman. It's been a while, Brother Rich. How are you?
I'm great, Kevin. How are you?
You know, you're an author. You're living off the grid. One New York man's journey to off-grid living in Montana. You're living the good life. I'm sure being off the grid, you haven't heard about Ferguson, Ray Rice, or any of these other daily difficulties that the rest of us mere mortals are dealing with.
Actually, to be honest with you, Kevin, I probably get more information, more accurate information from the Internet, especially channels and radio stations like yours that's more into truth, that's more of a smaller market, that has the guts to stand for principle and say it like it is. So I'm well aware of everything from Ferguson to the immigration issue to the banks, the Federal Reserve, the U.S. Treasury, you name it. I'm pretty well-versed.
Are you living the dream? I don't know how many folks, whether we live in Idaho or your old stomping grounds on the East Coast, say, I've had it. I'm going to move off the grid and move to Montana or Wyoming, but in your case, Montana.
Yeah, and you know what? It's been a dream, to be honest with you, Kevin. And I've always wanted to live off the land. I wanted to live off the grid. I'm really into hunting and fishing and gardening and edible and medicinal plants, the whole works. But I realized that and this is by design, by the way, the powers that be are doing everything to distract, dumb down, and divide the American people. And you can see that with immigration and the lack of assimilation that's going on, and the Ferguson example you just shared with me. But to put it another way, folks, we have a tiered system of special or different rules, laws, and accountability based on what group you're in, what victim group, or what protectionist group. So I have to say, Kevin, that America's been drunk on the Kool-Aid of political correctness for too long. We need to have zero tolerance for political correctness and draw that line in the sand and get away from that cookie-cutter follower PC mentality.
Rich Sheeman with us. You can check him out offgridmontana.com. You know, you're one of the folks that and we do, like all these shows, we do interviews and you talk to a lot of folks, but your journey really kind of have stuck with me over the years. So for those that didn't catch our original interview, I think it was about a year ago this time, tell us a little bit about why you left a highly successful run in New York to move to Montana.
Well, first of all, Kevin, it was a dream. It was a goal. And because of my love for nature and the outdoors, for example, my first college degree was in forestry, and I got that in the early 80s. And I went to an interview, and I'm making a very long story short. I went to an interview for the National Forest Service, and they just told me right off that they would not hire me as a white male. So they hired two girls right out of high school with no experience at all. So I ended up going through different colleges. I ended up with 3 degrees. I was in the pharmaceutical industry for over 20 years. And I realized that because of all the corruption, because of all the manipulation in so many different markets between big government and big oligarchies, it was getting really difficult for an average Joe person like myself to control their own destiny. So I wanted to live off-grid. I wanted to hunt my own fish, hunt my own meat, catch my own fish. We can everything. We grow our own produce. So I don't have to worry about GMO foods. I don't have to worry about hormones, steroids, antibiotics, and pesticides. And I'm not saying that we don't consume any of that, because we do go to people's houses often for dinner, and we meet people at restaurants. So, you know, we're still out there, but not as much as the average Joe person. And I realized that some of these ideas and solutions that I give, whether it be on the radio or in the book, is not to throw in the white towel in the ring. It's to offer liberation for the middle class. It's to offer certain ideas and solutions, especially for people who are suffering from silence. Folks, we cannot be the land of the free and the home of the brave if we don't have the guts to stand for principle. And what I mean by standing for principle, the context, how I mean it in the book, is that we must all demand that we have the same rules, laws, and accountability for everybody on American soil. And we have to get that balance in life back, folks, between hard work and passions and interests, between old and new, between nature and technology, between city and country, between spending and saving. And, Kevin, I mean, you have to agree, when you look at today's youth, and even older folks like myself, I mean, they're addicted to the blue light syndrome, the television, the computer, the iPad. It's almost like they can barely even communicate anymore.
Rich, I agree with you. So you had this dream. You had, very successful in the pharmaceutical industry. Did you pick out a place in Montana? Did you research it based on your past? How did you come up with Montana and where you chose to make your stand?
Well, I was a pharmaceutical rep my last, 17, 18, 19 years. My last part of my career was in Montana. And I traveled all over the state of Montana, and I chose an area where I had lots of National Forest Service. I'm in northwest Montana, folks, for those of you who are curious. And I wanted to be around lots of water. I wanted to be around surface water, have lots of lakes, and I want to have a good aquifer underneath my feet. So in other words, I was looking for a place where the natural resource to human population ratio was not compromised. And I tell everybody, go, every state, I even made a joke in the book, even New Jersey has rural areas. Go where your interest and hobbies are. Live where you recreate. Because as we get older, once our adventure years are gone, and I pretty much label adventure years being about 55 in the book, you just don't have those same desires and ambitions to seek out certain adventures when you get to a certain age. And I see so many youth today, Kevin, who are, again, they're addicted to a sedentary lifestyle, to the blue light syndrome. And I think when they reach my age, they're going to have a lot of regrets by not going for certain dreams, goals, and not giving up on your health as well.
Why should we be self-sufficient?
Well, there's so much truth out in the national media that's being trumped by manufactured perception or manufactured pity. We live in an emperor-has-no-clothes society. And instead of listening to objective facts, we're listening to subjective emotional opinion by the certain powers that be. And they're not changing minds through legitimate means. They're changing minds through intimidation, bribery, shaming, threats, blackmail. It's basically social control through imposed etiquette. So the certain elite are building an aristocracy, which means that the rest of us are going to be serfs, which means if you look at spending and saving, if you look at overall economic barometers of success, Kevin, the middle class is waning. It's losing a ton of ground. So I'm trying to give ideas and solutions to people so how they can get a little more self-sufficient. You don't even have to live off-grid. Maybe put some solar panels on your house. Maybe start a garden so you can realize the enzymes, which are so important to healthy living, vitamins and minerals. And by the way, enzymes, when you cook your food, folks, over 130 degrees Fahrenheit, you're killing your enzymes. And we need to build our immune systems again because the immune system deals with inflammation, circulation, allergies, infection, detoxification, cancers, and tumors. So you look at it from a health perspective. When you look at it from the fact that so many Americans, especially middle-class Americans, are hamsters on a treadmill running to nowhere. Kevin, I'm just trying to give them an alternative lifestyle.
Rich Sheban with us, offgridmontana.com, one man's journey to off-grid living in Montana. So you get to Montana. Was it a culture shock? I know you'd worked the territory, but there's a big difference between having a neighbor next door or Crystals or 7-Eleven down the street and going out to the stream to catch the fish.
No, it wasn't at all. My dream was to come out here and hunt and fish, and I even do a little trapping. I just love everything in nature. Unfortunately, I could not get that job with the National Forest Service, so I had to switch gear, put on a suit and tie, get another degree, and three total, and you know, drive a company car around for a few years in order to realize my dream. Because as most of us know, plan A's and plan B's don't always work out, and you got to have a plan C, D, E, and F, and you got to go for it.
I agree with you, but what was it like initially? And I understand your background in forestry, but to, you know, get animals and hunt animals and kill them and then eat them.
Well, when you say what it's like, I mean, for most of us,
it would be a shock, Rich, because we go to the store and we get our stuff and, you know, it's all taken care of. It's, you're starting from the very scratch.
Well, I am. But when you look at, I'm going to transfer that to the health aspect of it, Kevin. If you look at immune stimulants versus immune suppressants, which I'll give an example is sugar, you know, the immune stimulants out there, I get to eat things like onions, garlic, cayenne pepper, ginger, horseradish, kale, all the cabbage family like broccoli, cabbage, cauliflower. So I get to eat healthier foods. You know, when you look at cancer in this country, folks, one out of two of us are dying of cancer in America. In 1900, it was one out of 60. So because of our lack of nutrition, proper hydration, exercise, sleep, and all this extra excess exposure to chemicals, we're not being healthy, and we're eating food-like products and not food. You know, we're addicted on all these chemicals like MSG and aspartame. All artificial sweeteners are addictive. Nicotine, high fructose corn syrup, propylene glycol, folks. This isn't an additive in so many foods. It's basically an antifreeze. One of the acronyms in my book, Kevin, is SARP, synthetic, artificial, refined, and processed. I try to have people try to avoid most of that most of the time because none of us can be perfect on that.
Rich, please stand by. We'll take some phone calls for you coming up next. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580-KIDO. Let's get to traffic.
Back weekdays at 9. Now back to Kevin Miller on 580-KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Is it time to get away from it all? Rich Sheben joining us, offgridmontana.com. We go to the phones. We go to Terry in State College, Pennsylvania. Good morning, Terry.
Good morning, Kevin. How are you?
Good. I'm still on the grid.
Still on the grid. Well, we're only half off the grid.
I see.
Rich, thank you for being on the show today. We train people, you know, as best as we can based upon the knowledge that we have how to get as far off grid as possible. We're even going to put a group together next week and show them how to manufacture their own solar panels. And we're going to do a whorehound tincture for the winter for those people that are going to have a lung full of congestion. I really commend you with what you're doing. You know, you're living a lifelong dream, and right now I'm going to have to live my dream through you. But it's just great having you on here. I'll have a time and a date for sure next week if anybody wants to learn how to do a hands-on solar panel manufacturing.
Terry, what questions do you have for Rich?
Rich, what I have a question for you is, what are the most difficult moments of living off-grid that you had to contend with in the beginning, and how did you deal with them?
Well, that's a good one.
Well, Terry, first of all, thanks for the early compliments. I appreciate that. And because I did so much research, Terry, I had pretty much had my ducks in a row. Even though I had zero knowledge of, for example, having a solar array, I did a lot of my research and talked to people who not only lived off the grid, but electricians who are retired and actually practice what they preach and are doing it. And for people who want to get information, you know, whether you go to my website, offgridmontana.com, or go to solar companies, they're all over online. Go to battery companies, too. I guarantee you your local battery company that sells lead-acid batteries, whether it be deep or shallow cycle, we'll have people who have off-grid experience and help people set up doing that. So the information is out there, Terry. And I tell people if they live in a subdivision or even if they're a renter, take baby steps. You know, maybe buy – there's so many different supplemental solar arrays that you can buy just to charge certain electronics. You know, start a little garden. Anybody who has let's say you live in a little subdivision, even if it's on a half an acre – you still have to cut your lawn. You still have to rake your leaves. Instead of throwing that on the curb so the city picks it up, put it in a corner in your yard and use it as a compost pile. save every coffee ground, every radish top, every banana peel, eggshell. This is all great compost. So,
well, you know, I'm very jealous, Don. Very jealous. You know, not everybody's able to achieve that. We had friends from back east that we lived close to, you know, who had lived exactly like that. There's just a we're limited to what we do here simply because of our lifestyles. But we're fortunate to have a gentleman coming in who he sells and helps to install on or grid-tied solar systems. You know, and he's just a wealth of knowledge, and we're just going to give people a hands-on. Are you married? Do you have children? You know,
well, I live with my girlfriend, Terry, and okay. I've been doing this for a little over 7 years now, living off-grid, living on this piece of property for almost 10 years, and, you know, it's something that I've always wanted to do. And I have a very small system, folks. I have a 675-amp-hour system, so that's not real large. And that amp hours, by the way, is really the true unit of measure when you're looking at alternative power. So you just don't need a lot. It all depends on your lifestyle. And we don't have a television. We live a little rugged compared to most people, Terry. We don't have
very good
additional running water. We don't have a hot water heater, pressure tank. I use a gravity feed for the water in the sink to wash the dishes. And we live with an Amish wood cook stove that has a 24-gallon hot water heater attached to it. So it's a kind of a lesson in frugality. It's the analogy would be money in the bank. If you don't have the money in the bank, you don't spend it. If you don't have the extra electricity, you don't use it. So
right.
It really is a way for us to control a little more of our own destiny.
And that's really about. Terry, thank you for the call. Now, Rich, I've got a couple email questions for you from Linda. Seriously, this guy made his money off selling pharmaceuticals, one of the massive corporation groups intent on selling us good and bad drugs these past 20 years, and he's giving us advice on healthy food and lifestyles. That sure made me smile. Rich, what do you say to Linda?
Well, I'll tell you, Linda, read my book, and I've shared some of the corruption. I worked for a company. In fact, the name of the company is in my book that actually was pleading guilty to fraud and bribery. They stole billions of dollars from the middle-class taxpayer through Medicare and Medicaid. In fact, I even have an article here that this company accidentally, this is an article from the Global Research News, released a bunch of live poliovirus in the environment in Belgium, in the water source. So I don't have much respect for this industry, and especially the company that I work for, because they told me, when I was working with spinal stenosis and nerve damage, and folks, I've lost 90% of the strength in my arms and hands, that I couldn't get a part-time job share because it was for women only. So long story short, Kevin, I don't have a lot of respect for that particular company and the industry in general. They are creating drugs for the most part, not to prevent or cure disease, but to manage the symptoms for profit. Now, when you put profit over people, when your mission statement is about helping people, I agree with why she's smiling, because I was the only person with that company who was trying to get a nutritional care program for the American people, and management looked at me like I was an alien from outer space, because they realized that money was more important than people. And there's a little more specificity and detail, Linda, in my book, in that story, and the title of Chapter 2, I believe it's in that chapter, is Political Correctness Out of Control.
We go to another question from our friend LS. We live in a country where I cannot grow hemp. Your guest, being in the pharmaceutical industry, knows that hemp is one of the most nutritious products in the world as a food product. Does he import his hemp?
Well, and I've heard stuff about hemp. I'm not a big proponent of hemp because... And the main reason is I just don't have a lot of information, LS. You know, I try to concentrate on, for example, I harvest chaga, which is a dry mushroom. It's high in SOD, superoxide dismutase, and fights cancers and tumors. And I harvest that. I harvest edible and medicinal plants. I make my own teas out of the forest. I grow my own produce. We probably grow about 25, 30 species of vegetables here with raised bed gardening and greenhouses. So I just don't have a lot of information about hemp, but there's plenty of other ways to get a nutritional balance in life, and especially avoiding some of all these chemicals and steroids, hormones, antibiotics, and especially GMO foods.
Rich Scheeman, Off Grid Montana, we do appreciate it, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thank you, Kevin. Really appreciate being on your show.
Take care. There we have it. Rich Scheeman with us, offgridmontana.com. Kevin Miller, 580 KIDO.
Blacks I know in my life, they're disgusted by this stuff. I'm really shocked at how the media is handling this. Every morning they're just showing Sharptown and the Reverend Jackson, these two knuckleheads.
It looks to me like what they're trying to do with it is to create a country that is divided between race. They're trying to turn it into a black versus white.
This isn't a black-white issue. This is a natural rights issue.
I want to know what you're thinking.
Kevin Miller is talking to you on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
8:38, Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Phone numbers 580-5436, 580-KIDO. And coming up, we'll talk to our friend Rachel Sutherland of Fox News Radio, get her thoughts on the Supreme Court hearing the arguments over free speech and the Facebook. Other news that we are covering here and taking your phone calls concerning the Ferguson situation. And I, you know, again, just the media response to it is, well, indescribable. But as predicted, she joins us now from Fox News Radio. She's very describable. Rachel Sutherland. Good morning, ma'am.
Good morning.
So I guess this is something that we can all relate to on Facebook. You had a guy say and do some horrible things. He said he was quoting rap lyrics, and it's all about free speech, and we don't have anything better to focus on as far as the Supreme Court goes. So let's take it to the Supreme Court. I'm sure there are more details in this.
Yeah, oh, definitely, Kevin. Yeah, the justices heard arguments from the lawyer for Anthony Ilanis, who is in prison now, serving a four-year term after the posting threats that you mentioned on his Facebook page. Some of those threats were against his estranged wife, who actually was under a protective order at that time. And one of his posts said, quote, referring to the protective order, "Is it thick enough to stop a bullet?" He also talked about knifing a female FBI agent, shooting school children. But his lawyer's arguing that this is protected free speech under the First Amendment because his client, Anthony Ilanis, was writing rap lyrics.
And they heard those arguments with a straight face yesterday.
They really did. And interestingly enough, I would have loved to have heard this. Chief Justice John Roberts actually read aloud Eminem's lyrics that apparently refer to dumping his wife's body in a lake. I don't know. I don't really listen to Eminem. But apparently Chief Justice Roberts did read that. On the other side of the argument, you had Justice Samuel Alito saying, quote, "This sounds like a roadmap for threatening your spouse and then getting away with it." And really, Kevin, what it does is kind of expose an ongoing concern when it comes to Internet and what we post there. Is a threat on the Internet really a threat, or is it artistic expression, or is it maybe a blogger's opinion? We know that if someone wrote a note and tacked it on someone's door saying they were going to kill them, that would clearly be a threat. But in this new digital age, the justices will decide if it does constitute a threat when you're talking about being on a site like Facebook.
Right, and again, it's very troubling when you think about this because, you know, if the justices rule this is a speech issue, what are the limits then? I mean, you can't yell fire in a movie theater.
Well, it made me start thinking about it. I started thinking, what about ISIS? They use Twitter, and they put out threats and all kinds of gruesome pictures. And so what's the law? And if there is an operative acting in the United States, are they protected by the First Amendment to be able to post that kind of stuff? And it has broader implications. I mean, we're thinking about even, you know, if someone goes in and shoots up a school, where's the first place we look? People go right away to that Facebook page if it exists before it's taken down because they want to see, was there any kind of idea this person would act this way? And so it just raises a lot of questions. Others would say, okay, the Internet is kind of the Wild West. We're able just to express ourselves. I mean, you look at some of the anonymous postings that are on the web comment section. Some of them get really, really ugly. I think some people need, a tutorial from Emily Post on how to behave.
Rachel Sutherland hitting it out of the park here today at 580 KIDO. You know, and again, it's interesting, you know, the true limits of speech without those, as you've documented what that entails. And, of course, the generation that, you know, of course, the old people now use Facebook. It's all about Instagram or Vine or whatever they're doing these days.
Oh, but, yeah, these Vines, uh-huh.
Yeah,
I hear about that from my kids.
Yeah.
I'm old.
But the idea, Rachel, that, you know, you could say I'm going to a legitimate threat, and if you did it over the phone or in person, you would be put away. But the it's fascinating, I guess, in the legal sense, the common sense court, it would be, hey, a threat is a threat is a threat.
Right. That's what someone might say initially, that, yeah, it looks to be pretty threatening. But then how do you make a determination between what's artistic expression and what's a threat? And certainly in something like the internet, it is hard to determine that. Someone may even be on a blog and they're writing fiction or something like that, and it comes off as a threat. But, you know, the justices will decide this. It will have, you know, broad implications, as we mentioned. I mean, even you think about teen suicides and bullying online and the things that kids have been able to get away with.
What happened to that young lady about the Obama girls?
Exactly. All kinds of scenarios that we could point to, and that those scenarios would definitely be affected by what the Supreme Court has to say. They should be out with this decision this summer. Most of their decisions come out, you know, in June time frame over the summer. And so we do expect them to rule on this and see, you know, how it shakes out and affects existing law when it comes to, you know, sort of the dark underbelly of the Internet.
Rachel Sutherland, we appreciate it, ma'am. Take care of yourself.
Thanks.
There we have it. Rachel Sutherland with us. It's 844. Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. And why don't we do this? No, I'm not going to sing something from The Sound of Music, but why don't we give away another set of tickets to The Sound of Music at the Nampa Civic Center? Caller 10 right now at 580-5436, 580-5436. Caller 10, you're going to win tickets to The Sound of Music from the Music Theater of Idaho. We appreciate those folks giving us tickets to give to you. And our little way of saying thank you for listening to Kevin Miller in the morning. 8:45, and this is something that hit yesterday. And it's one of those things that, you know how it is, you just get out of a good conversation and you go, oh, boy, I wish I would have brought that up. And, of course, you have to wait. Of course, that's why I'm on the Facebook and everything else and the Twitter, so I don't have to wait. However, think about this, and this is what happened yesterday concerning members of our military. Do we have this, Sweet William? Yes, we do. Let's take a listen.
The Law Enforcement and Homeland Security Bulletin is direct and specific, telling military personnel to review and, if necessary, scrub their social media profiles given the threat from ISIS. Fox News was first to report on credible threats to the military in October after ISIS followers singled out and targeted an Air Force father and his son online, posting derogatory statements to their Facebook accounts. In Washington, Catherine Herridge, Fox News Radio.
Oh, wasn't life so simple before Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram? And we're all addicted to it. Look, we're in the business of disseminating information, platforms, and the like. But I thought, as an American, I thought of just how great of a country that we live in, that we can go home, that the home front is safe. And now, whether you want to blame the incompetence of this administration or not, our military folks are not safe in our own country. That our military guardians cannot go to their home or wear their uniforms in public or post on their social media because of the ISIS threat. And we're having a conversation about Ferguson, Missouri. We're having a conversation about Ferguson, Missouri. No wonder they're laughing at us. They've been emboldened. They want to destroy us. Heck, thanks to the media, we're destroying ourselves. Correct? Think about that for a minute. U.S. personnel, you that have served, now are threatened in our own country. And remember, don't post on social media, everybody, because the ISIS bad guys will get you. Is that what this country has come to? Now, again, there are parts of the country that are immune to the fraidy cat syndrome. I would say the West and the American South. And this is why I think an armed America is a safe America. However, at 580-5436, 580-KIDO, I'm just looking at this, and it's, again, for 24 hours I've been thinking about this. The ISIS threat needs to be stopped, but do we have the political will to do it? And in my own opinion, it seems how misguided the administration is when we're focusing in on Ferguson, when we're talking about America and how bad it is, and the news media, and Eric Holder. Mr. Holder, what are you doing about ISIS? Are you going to have the ISIS terrorists wear cameras? I mean, God forbid if that would happen in any part of the world, but in America? You got to be kidding me. I'd like to hear from you about this. 580-5436. Time for traffic. Kevin Miller.
On Hannity, weekdays at 3. Now, back to Kevin Miller on 580 KIDO, Idaho's first radio station.
Kevin Miller in the morning, 580 KIDO. Congratulations to Sherry of Boise and Ron of Nampa. They won our Sound of Music tickets. We'll be giving those away all week long here at 580KIDO. We go to Linda in Emmett. Good morning,
Good
Linda.
Good morning. How are you?
Hello.
I'm here.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good.
Good. I wanted to kind of chime in on your discussion with a gentleman earlier about...
Okay, Linda, you gotta hold on. Why don't you turn down your radio for a minute, and we'll come back to you when you're ready to go. Just we'll get to you in a minute. 580-5436, 580-KIDO. There's a huge mess going on in Missouri that we're not hearing about, and we'll take a look at that, plus this congressional staffer. But this is something that hasn't been reported on, and I think this is why we all should carry guns.
We have no evidence as to what the motivation here was. There's an absence of information on that right now.
Right. That's Jennifer Joyce. She's a circuit attorney. Here you have a victim, a Bosnian man, who was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. He was attacked by a group of teenagers with hammers. We don't know the race of the teenagers. People say it may not be a hate crime.
It's not about the race, crime, or black or white, or for what color you is. It's about the support, man.
Yeah, the support. They had a vigil for Zamir Begik, who was killed by a group of teens who police say jumped on his car, and when he got out, started beating him. Beating him. Where's the riots for this man?
He got out of the car, and he was surrounded by four men who then proceeded to taunt him and then eventually start beating him.
Right. Do we know the race of those guys? Does Eric Holder really care? Will Al Sharpton fight for this man who was savagely beaten to death on the streets of America?
And you don't judge the fight on one round. Even if we get knocked down, we get up and go to the corner and come out fighting the next round.
To Linda in Emmett with Kevin Miller at 580KIDO.
Hi, Kevin. What I was calling about was the discussion with how are we going to keep our country safe if we can't keep our own people safe in this country? And I don't just mean guns and you know, being put in concentration camps. How are we going to keep our country safe? We need NEED to go back to what the Founding Fathers said when they wrote the Constitution and the Bill of Rights. President Obama has broken so many of those laws that were put down so that there was a definition between the three bodies of government. And all I need is a pencil and my phone.
Well, and you're...
that crack. Oh.
I'm with you. I got to run.
Okay, dear. Have a good day.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Time for traffic. I'm Kevin Miller. Thank you all for listening. And remember, we're going to do our very best to provide you an oasis, an inoculation of the politically correct pabulum permeating from the Politburo. We're all in this together, folks. Keep the fight alive. The country needs you. We need you. I need you. Appreciate you listening. Have a great day. God bless and keep the faith.